up? Welcome to another episode of All Over Voiceover with Kiff VH. I'm your host, Kiff VH, and I am overjoyed to welcome my friend, my director, really a creative collaborator on Crude's Family Tree. Thrilled that she's here, one of the most sought after directors and voice actors in town. Serena Irwin is here. Serena, thank you so much for joining me. It's amazing to get a chance to talk to you.
I can't believe we get the opportunity to actually not be in session and get to hang out. Like,
I know.
This is us hanging out.
This is us.
So excited.
It's the best part because, I mean, being in session is amazing, but it's also like, you know, every time we'd start talking VR or whatever, it's like, we don't have the time. This is, and yet
it's so necessary. I mean, especially like going through essentially 2 years of not being able to be in person with people.
Yeah.
It just felt like such a necessary thing to have a little bit of space in those record sessions where we could actually have a humane exchange that was beyond the script that we were gonna, you know, attend to.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, like it's really easy to, you know, I mean, you've been in it. You've been in these sessions where you go in and you're winding the watch real tight. And it's like, you know, get in, read the words, and then make room for the next person to come in. And there's something about this, the nature of what we've, I mean, in a way, the nature of what we're doing with animation too. Like there's something that there's a different component to this kind of work that requires a greater sense of collaboration in some reason. I don't know necessarily greater, but like, there, and this is not to disparage people working in the commercial, like the commercial producers, but the aspect of creating animation specifically is we're all in like this sense of play and creating this world together that has a very different texture and component to it than it does when you're working on, you know, some spots for Dr. Scholl's or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I cannot speak to working on those kinds of spots, but I can say that It feels like, especially, and what was so wonderful about Crudes is we've got this core group that is the beginning and ending really of what we're going to be playing with. And so beyond tending to the words and the stories, we have to also know each other.
Yeah.
Get to know each other in a different way. I mean, I feel like that across the board for working in this zone. And really, I mean, it's just, you gotta have a relationship, for me as a director, a relationship with the actors that feels like fun and safe and free. And so sometimes in order to get to that space so that you can dive into the script with that sensibility, it's nice to have just a few minutes to hang out and shoot the breeze.
I agree. How did you come to this work? What's your, like, where, I only know you from the context of what's available publicly about you on your websites and things, but then also in our interaction and, which every, and, you know, I mean, I preface this by saying like, I mean, coming into a session into whether it's in this context or going into any studio, like just seeing your face in the sessions just gave me tremendous joy because I knew we were in for a great time. And, you know, I don't know, like, it's just like you're hands down, like in my top three favorite directors I've ever worked with. And to be able to build a relationship with you, like over the period of 50 some episodes is like, glorious. So, but that's that. There, I got that out of the way. Now we can just.
But let me also say, I mean, what I love so much about you is you come not just ready to play, but like excited to play. I can, and the great thing is you can, I could sense that through the Zoom waves. Didn't even have to be in the same room with you to feel that there's just this hunger and joy and, and you also feel grateful to be in the space that you're in. And it's just, it's exciting from my point of view to get to play with,
awesome.
Play with you.
Thank
and
you
to
so
play
much.
With the, all of the energy that you bring and the sort of Like, if I throw an idea out, you're like, yeah, let's try it. You know, it's like, great. It's just really fun. It's like, we often call, you know, our sessions a playground or whatever, but it really feels like that with you. I feel like we are two kids on a playground and we're yes-anding the heck out of things with each other.
Amazing. I feel the same way. And I love your, like, there are jokes and moments that I'll drive by with my initial sort of take, but then you, I just made my hair look like Ed Grimley. Sorry. But like, you, I'll drive by and then you'll be like, there might be some money on the table. Try this bit. And like, and having that sense of, play on the same wavelength, that we're rooted in that same connection. And like, I've commented before too, on like how hilarious your impressions of everybody else are, but like how informative and helpful and instructive that is in the moment. Like that gift of giving me Matt Watterson's read and then Amy Landecker's sort of sardonic, you know, UGA reaction to something that I've done. Like it's really, really helpful given that this is the first like series that I've been, you know, a regular on in animation. It's like, and that we began this at like literally our first table read was the very last public thing that any of us had done for the most part.
Yeah. But which is so wild.
Incredible.
But yeah. I would say I, you know, I try not to go too far with impressions or impersonations of what the other actors are doing with their characters. But as you mentioned, give you enough so that you know where that character is going to land. So that when we hear everything together, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And for me, just going, and sometimes it's necessary, but going line by line and hitting it three times in a row just doesn't like scratch the itch for me. I feel like getting a sense of the whole scene, if we can do it, brings so much more. And also I think sometimes catches the actor off guard in a good way a little bit. Like you just gotta be, and that's what all actors are there to play and come from that perspective. But then I think sometimes with animation, we get accustomed to doing three in a row, gonna go do this and slightly different each time, et cetera.
Yeah.
But that takes us out of what is the context of this scene.
Yeah.
What are we playing with here? What's the relationship? Like you said, where's the money on the table? Like all that stuff can sometimes get lost if we just poke in for lines here and then another line three times and then another line three times, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And as I said, sometimes that's necessary and sometimes that's the right way to hit it. But I love that we got to play, and I'm so grateful that I had so many incredible actors I could do a lousy impersonation of.
Well, let me go back to my starting question. Like what's your story? Where are you from? How'd you get into doing this?
It's all top secret.
This has been Serena Irwin, everyone. Thanks so much for...
I came of age pre-internet, believe it or not, that exists. There is a time. But yeah, no, I went to college in San Francisco, graduated with a degree in international relations and theater, and always knew I wanted to go into theater, but I loved IR so much.
What is it about international relations that captured your imagination when you were like, you know, college age?
A couple, like I am a firm believer in being a witness to the world community, not just local, but keeping heart, eyes, mind open to the fact that we're all a part of planet Earth and beyond, like, you know, universe, galaxy, blah.
Yeah.
But so I've always just been interested in other cultures, other ways, and then the politics that move all of the nations in the direction that we all move in. And I heard that was the most difficult major to get a degree in. And I thought, well, let's give it a shot. I remember as a freshman, I took a graduate level, you know, arrogance is everything. I took a graduate level international relations, like world law class. And the teacher was speaking about MNCs, and I'm like, I don't know what an MNC is. So I just wrote E-M-E-N-C-I-E-S, and there was a graduate student sitting next to me. He's like, that's MNC, multinational corporation. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. I have so much to learn. But it was great. And like, you know, and that same class, after our first test, I went up to the teacher. I'm like, hey, everything on here is... it was all essays. I'm like, I knew everything, and yet you gave me a B+. Why? He's like, because you don't know the language, and terminology, which really brings us also back around to being in animation, and it is another language as well. And as a director, as an actor, producer, artist, etc., there's a whole language in this world that that I would love to. I think maybe it's out there. Andrea Romano mentored me. It's how I became, even ever had the opportunity to become a director in this field.
Amazing.
And she really taught me the language of this world in a way that I didn't understand it, had not had the experience of it from that perspective as an actor.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So anyhow, yeah, after college, ended up seeing a little advert. Actually, I was in a... film, a little indie film, and a guy came on set and was like, Serena, have you seen this little like advert for a group that's looking for it's like sketch comedy and it's all women's group, you should totally do that. And I thought, that would be fun. And called the number, got picked up, like took the BART across. I was in San Francisco, took the BART over to Oakland.
Uh-huh.
This woman picked me up, like chain smoking cigarettes with like her leg, you know, hanging out one window, driving with the other. I'm like, who is this person? We went to her living room and just improvised together, the two of us. She had come from Second City in Chicago.
No kidding.
And Susan Mealy, and her husband was doing work at the LBL, Lawrence Berkeley Lab.
Uh-huh.
And so she's like, I need to start a group of funny in SF. And then it ended up being three people, myself, her, and Kathleen Fontaine, who is now Quinn Fontaine.
Oh, man.
Has transitioned. But we had such an extraordinary time just playing together. Ultimately, became pretty popular up in San Francisco, mainly because we would just do promo, like run around to neighborhoods, dress up in crazy outfits, jump out of the car and hand out flyers in every neighborhood. We'd have the most diverse, interesting audiences.
Incredible.
And so I just got into characters that way.
Huh.
It was like finding voices for characters. And then we ultimately were invited down to LA for what was then at HBO, had a workspace.
Oh, yeah.
Comedy Central workspace.
But yeah.
At that time was HBO, and it didn't work out. You know, we kind of had meetings for the three of us. It didn't kind of go in that direction, but I ended up thinking, well, if I'm ever going to stay and try this, might as well stay now, where
yeah.
I know at least five people. Before I knew none.
Yeah.
So and then from there was doing sort of sketch, improv, and a friend of a friend, like a friend of mine had a friend, and she said, hey, Serena, a friend of a friend just got a show greenlit at Nickelodeon. You should send your reel. They're auditioning. And I said, well, I don't have a reel. I mean, I have a sketch reel, but I don't have an animation reel. And she's like, well, just send your sketch reel.
Huh.
And so I ended up doing that. And that was for SpongeBob. And it was I sent my sketch reel to Steve Hillenburg, who forwarded it to Donna Grillo, who was casting.
Uh-huh.
She brought me in for Pearl, Sandy, and Mrs. Puff. None of which I got, but they called up and they said, hey, you've got a great range.
Yeah.
We're not going to cast you as any of those characters, but You could be SpongeBob's mom. We're going to have you in as SpongeBob's mom. Maybe, you know, we don't really want her around that much. But we probably have other things for you. And, you know, just keep you in the fold. And honestly, if it were not for Steve Hillenburg, if it weren't for Derek Dryman, Paul Tibbett, Vince Waller, Mark Ciccarelli, and all of the people that have been running SpongeBob over the years, I wouldn't have been able to stay in the game as long as I have to explore other things and to find my way. You know, it took time to figure out, like, where does my skill set, where is it of use to anyone?
Yeah.
You know? And I'm so incredibly grateful to them all to have had that opportunity to be able to, you know, make a living, a simple but steady living, and continue to explore theater, which I love so much, and writing and doing short films and directing plays and, you know, all the other things that you love to do that don't pay a dime, in fact, cost you money to do.
Yes, exactly. But like to have that sustaining, a sustaining creative straight job for all, you know, and what, and from the outs, from when we arrived here, like I never thought of, in particular, like animation or VO or whatever being my straight job, but it does, can and will become that. And you still, I was talking with Kari Walgren about this in this context about like, what do you do when you've hit the thing that was your dream? It's like, well, you have to kind of continue to invent and discover what speaks to you creatively and where can you, cause once you've completed the bingo card, the game's over. So, but you want to keep playing, you know? So definitely. Like, that's, it's beautiful. It's amazing that show was, you know, able to provide so many opportunities for you both. Like,
oh my gosh,
like range, like just the variety of, you know, Tadashore calls it being a session player, right? Like being able to just pick up all the different spots and like, oh yeah, I can do that. I can play a toilet. I can play a star. I can, you know, I can play a candle, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. I mean, it, and you know, for a quote unquote straight job, it is, I'm about the most fun you can have. I mean, honestly, to me, as you, I didn't look at it as, this is not why I came to town. I actually didn't even grow up with a TV. So I didn't, not only did I not have a knowledge connection to, I mean, I knew about cartoons, obviously, animation, but it was not the forefront of my mind or imagination. But since being involved with it, to me, it is the space that just like provides for the actors the most creative freedom they might ever see in their careers. I mean, it is such a wonderful place to get to play.
Yes.
And there's such encouragement for that exploration too. I mean, we talked about there needing to be time, like we move. And you do have to be able to, like, once you start bringing a voice to the table, you got to be able to dip back into that voice. You got to have a way back in.
Yeah.
Because if you come in 5 months to ADR something, you got to know how to get back in that voice, right?
Yeah.
And you've got to stay consistent from beginning of script to end of script too.
Yeah.
So you have to have been playing with these voices. And then you finally have a zone where, I mean,
I'm not gonna be hired as a woman on camera to do this.
You know, I'm
right.
just not yet.
Right.
Maybe that will come and I welcome those days.
Right.
But, you know,
yeah.
I could be in my early 20s and playing an old lady. And that just, and there's so much creativity that is allowed.
Yes.
And invited and welcomed and all that stuff. So, yeah, I cannot tell you how incredibly fortunate I feel to have, like, found myself in this territory. It's just, I can't even believe it.
You know, like, that point that you just made about, like, not only you know, the gift of the work, the opportunity of it, but like also, you know, working specifically on a show like what we've been working on, of like having a nice celebrity footprint to be able to always measure my foot against, you know what I mean? To like, gives you this, that same kind of thing of like, I'm just a guy from the Midwest who is able to mimic a little bit, and I've got, you know, some training and whatnot, and I'm in touch with my emotional life, so I'm able to play those things. But like I've said a couple of times, you know, privately too, of like, my on camera would never be given the opportunity to do the kind of things that we're doing in this context. Both, yeah. You know.
Well, you will be, and that will happen on camera for you. If it hasn't already, it will, because, I mean, like you just said, you have an emotional core and center that you're able to tap into, and it's such a beautiful thing. I spoke about it in our group meeting, but you in your daddy-daughter day, also your, you know, I mean, your time with...
With AJ and the Thunk.
Thunk. Yeah. There's just, the great thing about Croods is they're, Mark and Todd did such a, Mark Banker, Todd Grimes, did such a great job of figuring out how to have the comedy always there and alive, but the heart and the truth of these relationships just fully explored to their, just the core essence of humanity at its trickiest and at its best. Like it was there, and you took it and ran with it, and
thank you.
You know, it's hard too, as you mentioned, like being able to have a celebrity thing to drop into can also become a handcuff of some sort, you know. Can be hard.
I'm really, really blessed to have, look at our source cast. I mean, from the features, I mean, everybody is extraordinary. From Catherine Keane, I mean, like, give me a break. Peter Dinklage and Nicolas Cage to get the opportunity to do some of the things that guy has done in the movies is unbelievable. In both the Croods films is unbelievable. There's so much. And that was really, I think, my way in for it was like, it's the end of the first Croods. That's really the well that I consistently, you know, would draw from throughout, of like, I'm going to connect to those moments. It's easy to grab onto the anger. It's easy to grab onto the strength. And, you know, and what I really appreciate about what, you know, what the team has generated is, you know, they've, all the funny is all there, but all the heart's there too. And that's rare. You know, especially for, you know, not necessarily, especially for television animation. There's been a lot of TV animation. It's absolutely blown my mind.
Yeah. You know, so
oh my God, from Gumball to Phineas and Ferb to all that stuff. But anyway, it was fascinating. The conversation that was beginning about the language of animation. Can you talk about your experience with Andrea Romano mentoring you and your transition, like the transition. Like I want to talk about some of your other performance stuff as well, but I'm really fascinated too in like how that experience emerged and how it changed you, not only as a performer, but then how directing has changed you as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, so Andrea and I became friends when she started directing SpongeBob. And I think that went on for about 5 years. And I would say, I mean, we had a friendship, but it was also sort of a professional friendship, you know, but I just always really loved her and I couldn't put my finger on, I think it was probably, I felt like there was always a creative opening for play with her. Hmm. I loved the way that she spoke with actors. I loved her, respected her prep that she had done in order to play with us. And it felt like everything, all the sessions were directed cleanly and clearly, but also had space in them for the exploration that the actor was going to take. And I mean, here she was a SpongeBob, very different thing to be directing Tom Kenny than to be directing me. I mean, there's two Tom Kenny, creator of iconic character Serena Irwin, who's that? So she, you know, but yet she treats everyone, has treated everyone as an equal in the, on the playground.
Yeah.
And I always really felt heartened by that. As I started to direct pieces, once I knew her, I would invite her to come and see them. And she came and saw me in things that I was in as an actor as well.
Amazing.
And, you know, every time she had a party and I was lucky enough to get an invitation, you know I was there.
Oh, my God, yeah. Those are the best emails. Like, oh, by the way, we're having a thing.
It's like, yeah.
Yes. Yes. I want to respond, but I don't respond so fast.
Right. Let it... I'm like, I'm going to be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just the more I got to know her, the more I appreciated and just respected and adored her. And ultimately, I had applied to the directing workshop for women, which is AFI.
Yeah.
And I asked her if she would put in a recommendation. And she did. And I did not get in.
Huh.
And then, like, maybe a year or so later, I applied again and said, would you write another recommendation? She said, yes. And at that point, she had seen a couple more of, like, plays that I had directed.
Yeah.
Again, I did not get in, but I got closer. I got, you know, ended up having conversation, got brought in for conversation with the people that were running it at the time. And in fact, I think that happened right after I had started working with Andrea, because in my conversation with AFI, they were like, well, if you already have a mentor, you don't need this program.
Yeah.
Like, go about your merry way and give other people opportunities here. I'm like, but not so in there, in between there, Andrea had come to a couple of plays. She invited me over to her house and said, hey, I want to talk to you about the work you did in those plays. What was that like for you? How was it working with the actors? Did you get from the actors what you had wanted to get from the actors? If not, why not? I mean, she just sort of, she didn't say why she was asking me any of this. She just sort of brought me over and sort of started asking me about my experience as a director.
Yeah.
And then I kept thinking, like, oh man, I would sure love to be mentored by her, but I know that if I do that, it's going to be 100% focus, and I'm going to need to be at a place where I'm ready to let go of my other focuses and other interests, at least for a while, a long stretch, so I can really commit myself to it. And so I was like, I want to do it, I want to do it, I want to do it. And as it was sort of heating up for me, she invited me and a couple of people over for a dinner. And I showed up and the other people all canceled. And then her partner of many years fell asleep at the dinner table. Thank goodness, because she and I got to talking and she said, you know, I'm thinking about retiring and I feel like you would be a really good fit as a mentee. And it was sort of like we both kind of asking each other to go on a date at the same time.
Amazing.
Like, it came, I think, from both of us having thought about this for a while. And and I was like, yes, yes, please, yes, please. And at that point, it just sort of became a weekly teaching, and I would go over to her house. She was so incredibly generous with her time, and we would spend like 3 hours or so talking about various prongs of that, what a director needs to be able to handle, like communication and paperwork things with studio, with producer, with the actors, with the engineers, language to communicate with all of these people, the speed with which things need to be moved through. And then, you know, of course, ultimately, like prepping a script. How do you prep a script? How do you, you know, work with one character and then be able to get to the next character 5 weeks later and know what you did with that one that they're in a scene with. You know, like keeping track of all that really became about how to best do that. Obviously, she had done it for 32 years, so she had put a system in place that was incredibly helpful. And I kid you, I've told her ample times, I have never received such unbridled generosity in my life. And to have it in a career, in the direction of a career endeavor, to have it from her, it just felt, I'm so incredibly grateful. And it just felt like it was just such a special thing. And I am forever indebted to her, and she knows she can ask anything of me and I would be there in a heartbeat. She has that. Oh, she knows that.
It's beautiful.
But yeah, and so it, after about a year of working like that or so, she, you know, essentially long short, she decided to retire early, earlier than she had thought she would. And she said, I want to just bring you in and give you a shot in the director's chair, see if these shows that I'm on right now might be comfortable continuing with you. And so I had the opportunity. They all thankfully did. I'm so grateful to Doug Langdale and to Rob Hoagie and to Joaquin Phoenix and Lauren Montgomery. Those were the four showrunners. Joaquin and Lauren were working on Voltron.
Oh, wow.
Doug was on Puss in Boots. Rob was on Nico and the Sword of Light. And they all took a chance with me.
Wow.
And of course, I met with the studios as well. And we, you know, talked about. And I really also feel very grateful to Anya O'Hare, who gave me a big shot at DreamWorks. And I know her well. So it's with, you know, without these people that believe in us, that stand by us, that give us chances, even when they don't know us, even when they don't believe in us, don't know us to believe in us.
Yeah.
It's those people that change lives. And so for me, I feel like all of those people I just mentioned, absolutely changed my life and gave me an opportunity. And I know for people listening, there are those people out there for you too, no matter what your field is. So I hope you find them.
I hope we all find them. It's so like, I don't know. It's all so humbling. Like when you encounter that person who like, You just like, what, me? I don't understand. Like, and sometimes, I mean, I'm grateful for my wife Sherry, who will reflect back to me like, stop it. You know what I mean? Like, stop your false humility. But then you're like, it's not necessarily false humility. It's like, it's a sense of, it is that sense of awareness of just, I'm just an artist trying to find my way through here. And then, and the business can be a real challenging grind. And when you get this gift of generosity from someone who you either look up to, have always looked up to, or is like, has been a, like, you know, your North Star, one of the people that you just enjoy working with. And you're like, I just want to spend time with you. Like, well, whatever we're producing, I don't care. I just want to hang and have fun because it makes the project that we're doing more fun. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And as you pointed to, especially at your age, my age, there's no way we've survived in this town without having like 10 garbage trucks full of heartbreak.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Absolutely.
There's so many things that you wish for, that you've gotten close on, that didn't happen, that... Yeah. You know, it's hard and to state what, like, to me, the most beautiful thing in actors that I love so much and respect so much is their connection to the vulnerability of the human spirit. And it is so hard to stay open to that when on the other side of it, your, and it's not personal. The thing I know now from the casting side and directing side, it truly isn't. You've heard it a million times from casting people. It's not personal. I mean, yeah, sometimes, yeah, you're just not, you didn't bring your A game and you're not going to get that part. Yeah. That's it. But yeah, sometimes it comes down to all this random stuff that is not, there's no way one could say that's fair. It's not.
Right.
It's not. There's no fairness. There's no, it's like.
Absolutely. I mean, you know? I'm just reflecting back on like casting a student show at Second City or casting a show as directing and sitting there with a pile of headshots of yeses and nos and maybes and then moving them around. And it was the combination that made it. And then there was the compromise that was surprising with other teachers who were like, this person is going to, they're going to do the thing. And you're like, I don't have experience with that person, but if you say so, okay, we'll try. Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then no eye contact with the people that didn't make it. You know, like that whole thing. And I stumbled upon this idea, I may have expressed it before, the idea of like, there's a lot less rejection here than there is not being selected. And that notion helps me navigate not being selected and not saying like, oh, I just auditioned for that Ford thing and they rejected me. No, they didn't. They didn't reject me. They just chose, you know, Andre Soyuzo. I was like, they just chose him, and that's fine. And, you know, and Andre should do that job because he's right for it. And I'd be right for it too, but that's not the flavor they want. So right. you just go, that's out of my hands. And until I can, you know, and then there are the days where I'm the thing. So, you know, that's, you're the Jolly Rancher that's chosen out of the candy bowl.
I know that there has been like talk of this, and I think it's really important to keep that in mind. It is not rejection. It's not, because that makes it too personal.
Yes.
And it's really, unfortunately though, it's not that personal. But the one thing that is essential is that everybody, whether it's your director, actor, artist, whatever you are, you got to keep doing. You got to just keep doing it.
Mm.
Because if you don't, then you're not. So even if you're doing a play for your friends that will come over and see it, or you're making, you know, I mean, right now, everything you could throw online.
Yeah.
There's no reason to not create.
There's no reason to not create.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true. And like the, I mean, creation begets other creation too. And, and it ties, it's like what we were talking about at the beginning. Like it's, if you're doing it for the sake of creation, that in itself is enough. It should be the motivation. If you're thinking too far beyond of this is going to be the thing that gets me this, it starts to smell like that desperation. You know, it starts to smell like that. You know, the best viral videos are the ones that just catch because they're because it's authentic. It's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, not like a thing that sort of smells like the thing.
It's so interesting that, like, how good we are as human beings and how all human beings are so good at sniffing out authenticity.
Mm.
And that is what we're all looking for.
Yeah.
Is to witness an authentic moment.
I was just talking with Sherry about that very thing, driving home from dropping off the kid at school, and the idea of the difference between a sound effects library and a Foley stage. And that we know it's not enough to sound like the thing. You got to be the thing. Consequently, you will sound like it because you are the thing, you know? And that authenticity is so critical I think that's all acting training really is too, is to try to get you to that place of getting connected and comfortable with your authenticity. You know,
here, stripping away the masks that we put up. And I think that writers are looking to do that too. So when the actor meets the writer right there in that space.
Yeah.
Of like, it's funny that it's even, you know, course from what you come from, like truth and comedy, like that it's in all forms.
Yes.
You gotta It's not just like drama, now I must reveal self and be truly organic. No, it's like, you know, that's malarkey. You know, it's really all forms. It's that catching it. And then that's the challenge of being an actor is like, is having that feel authentic, even though it might be something you labored on.
Stacking seven scripts on top of each other for different clients in contact and then doing your prep and knowing where you are, but being able to grab a keyframe in your mind, an emotional keyframe, an image or a piece of music or whatever it might be, to be able to help you get from neutral to that point. It's practice, right? And like that comes back to doing of just like, just make stuff, play with people, do it.
Yeah. You know? Yep.
Fascinating.
That's where the good stuff comes, I think, too. It's like, so good.
I agree, man. Tell me about, like, what are... I mean, there's no shortcuts. And I guess what I'm curious about is, like, what do you look for in both as a... Because I imagine as a director, you participate in the casting process if you're not a casting director on a show. Is that true or is that less of the case? More like, here's our cast and you're sort of our hired gun to direct for however long.
If I haven't been the casting director on it, that's generally what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's the cast and here's the script. Let's go.
Let's go.
No, I mean, when I'm taking something from pilot stage, they provide the series Bible, art, all the scripts that they have that are written, maybe the outline for the season, and then also all of the actors they've cast, and then their auditions, so I can hear where they landed things.
Okay.
And you know, generally a little, at least one meeting with the showrunners to sort of just pick their brain about tone.
Yeah.
If it's not, I mean, a lot of times it's real clear in the script. I mean, that's what I've said even to some. Just recently working with a showrunner, and it was going to be her first time showrunning, and she's like, how do we communicate? I said, to me, the script does all the communication. So obviously with showrunners, I'm also touching in with them throughout the record.
Yeah.
But everything that you want me to know, I expect to find it in the script.
Mm.
You know, and that doesn't mean like any kind of obvious acting direction.
right. Or like references or something like that.
but yeah, I mean, that's the great thing is the writers that we're working with are so incredibly good.
Oh my God.
And it is all there.
Yeah.
It's all right there. And so yeah, when I'm coming in as just a hired director, I don't generally have much opportunity to be a part of the casting.
What do you when you are doing? I mean, I'm assuming a lot of the folks who listen here are actors. When you're in the casting process, you know, what are the things that grab your ear that make you go, that's someone who surprised me, or you know, like what's your process with going through that and you know, and that, yeah, like what grabs your ear?
You know, I heard this a lot as an actor and I didn't get it. This is one thing I would be better at now as an actor. Is tone. Understanding the tone of the show that you're auditioning for. And I cannot tell you how much that helps. The great thing is, obviously, the internet is there. If you're with a brand new show that there's nothing on, I mean, you can't see anything, and all you've got are the words in your sides and then the description that they've offered you, I would suggest just get as Sherlock Holmesy as you can get. Detective it to the bone. To try and figure out what the tone could be. If you know that the, and sometimes even it'll say, like as a casting director, if I might say something innocuous like, Keep It Real or something boring and horrible like that. But that's just one of the clues. Then there are a set of clues that are going to come from what is the thing titled? What's the title of the thing? Even if it's a fake title, what did they title it as? Because that's another clue. Every single thing in the description is a clue. If your agent will give you sides, if there are other characters that they're auditioning for, but the agent didn't send you that.
Yeah.
If you can ask your agent, could you send the sides from the other characters as well, just so I can get a little bit of better sense contextually where I'm to be living.
Yeah.
That can be helpful. I mean, the hard thing is a lot of times with new shows, they're trying not to put too much out there.
Yeah.
So I would suggest also the possibility of saying, okay, like, geez, I've done all my detective sleuthing. I think this is the right tone, but I also have this other idea for another way. Of course, do both and send both in. I think different people feel differently. You got to remember, I'm one person in a sea of many people who are casting and directing. No one person has any answers. It's only other clues to go forward with. But for me, I only want to hear multiple takes if it's a very different take on the character. Rather than two takes that sound similar, but maybe you made a slightly different choice. I get it. I'm an actor too. I'm like, I like this choice and I like this choice.
I couldn't decide between these two.
I know. But it's up to you to make that choice. Yeah. You got to make that choice. Which one do you like more? Which one feels like it fits the script and character more? And make that choice and choose that one. Send it in. Now, if you know you're going to go for a completely different sound, great. I love that. That's fun too.
Yeah.
And I think I've been working with my kiddo who's been getting into animation.
Fantastic.
And he's so creative, and it's really fun to get to work with him because it's like it's reminding me of my being a student and all of the things that were helpful to me. I studied with Larry Moss for years. I only do like 1 week long intensive a year, but over the course of years, and sometimes I would go and just sit and watch him work with other people, and a lot obviously can be learned in that period of time. But it's choices, and that's such a general thing to say, but it's actually very specific. What are the choices that you're making? And that all loops back into detectiving it.
Yeah.
Like for him, we've gotten some sides. I'm like, what are these? I don't even know what this means. It doesn't even make sense. And then he and I sit and talk and like, okay, so this is mentioned, but that's a different name, but I don't think that's the real name. They're giving a fake name there, but they meant to put that name. You know, you're like trying to connect dots. And then, well, what's the most interesting? What is an interesting choice that doesn't... One of the things I love that Larry Moss says, and maybe he got this from Stella Adler, I cannot remember, but, it's actors that sometimes choose to make general choices. Hmm. Human beings, when we're interacting, we make specific choices.
Yes.
We don't generally wishy-wash on our choices.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at script and you're thinking, I don't know really what this means, I'm just going to say the words. No. It doesn't matter if you come to the right choice, so-called, and I put the right in quotes, or not, make a specific choice for that and stay out of generalities.
Mm.
Even if you have no clue what, I don't know what is happening here.
Can we
just
dig?
Craft it for yourself. Craft this world. Craft it. Craft the other characters, what they just said to you. And respond with the line that's given to you.
Mm. Can we dig into specific choice versus general choice in terms of emotional intent, meaning? Like, And I know it can be anything, but it's like that specific idea of like, make choices. And I've given this note a million times, like both teaching and directing, yes! but to myself.
It sounds like such.
Yeah. And it's, but it's like, not. But it, it's not, it's like, I'll, in a weird kind of way, I'll know it when I see it, like choose like the note that I've been giving or that I gave. Two recent notes. One is I love the movie. I speak in movie. So I speak in movie moments and like
you and Mark Banker.
Oh yeah. It's one of the reasons we get on so well. And he can be like, oh, have you seen Top Secret? You know that bit when Val Kilmer, and I'm like, I haven't seen it, but I remember I have seen it, but anyway, like for me, it's the movie, The Professional, where Leon teaches Matilda, how to shoot. And he says, your first person you're going to kill with a sniper rifle because killing is very intimate. So if you kill with a knife, that's like commercial copy. Like it's, there's no mask. Whereas the aesthetic distance from with a sniper rifle is very long. So it's kind of like a general choice is like the sniper rifle choice. You know what I mean? Like there's so much. There's no intention. It's just like, like I think I'm just as much trying to work through it too, because sometimes it's super clear, like my creativity feels very sharp in a moment, and I'm gonna make a specific choice that's a surprise. But then other times where I'm like, what's your process for that when you're, you know, when you're like,
I think don't let yourself off the hook. What you're talking about, I think absolutely. I think everyone stood in that space. Sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm hungry. I can't wait to make these choices. Like I've got a lot of choices. I'm going to try all. I'm going to see which choice best serves the script. Because for us, I feel like as the actors and the director, the script is that's if we're going to put it into religious terms, that's our God.
Yeah.
That's the one that we want to serve. Right. So, which choices are the ones that you're making that you think bring that script, that world, those characters, that moment to life?
Mm.
And if you're feeling like you said, and I feel like the same thing, I think it takes all of us just sitting with it and it's harder, but making choices. And if it's like, I don't know about that. I don't get it. So how can I make a choice? Keep trying to get it. Keep trying to figure out, why don't I get that? What is said about that? If I don't get the words in this line, is anything said around, above, anywhere else that I have access to that can help inform me about this? And if you really work every single thing that you've received and you still can't make heads or tails of it, make up a world that makes sense, that you think might connect to this world, but you don't know, but you think, okay, I'm going to just have to do this. I'm going to have to make that this happened, even though there's no word of that.
And
I'm going to take from the perspective of this character, given the little bit I do understand, I'm going to build a whole world, which is what Oz and I did with his script, where he and I were both like, we just started taking all the little tiny pieces, and there were enough clues to put it all together, where it was, we still had no idea if we were absolutely out in the weeds or if we had found something that was right. And he got the part.
Wow. That's awesome.
I'm like, good God. But to me, we spent probably 2.5 hours talking about choices.
Wow.
The choices, and the script was 5 lines. So
wow.
I think and you know what's also funny is I don't think I would have done that for myself. It's like that it's my child. I'm more available. I'm like,
completely understand what you mean.
I want to kick myself in the butt. I want to hit myself. I mean, I hate to bring, you know, physical abuse into this, but it's like, and it shouldn't be there. But I am so upset with myself for not giving myself that time.
Yeah.
And taking that time. And so I hope anyone listening to this will take away from it, you deserve to give yourself that time, and also the people listening deserve to have had you take the time to discover.
Mm.
Because that's what we're looking for. That's what casting people are looking for, is looking for discoveries that have been made.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Is that too mushy-mushy, or does it mean anything?
Not at all.
Okay.
I mean, I'll give you, I just to reciprocate, like I just saw a play over the weekend, and it was, you know, it was Shakespeare, and some of the performers had done that work and some of them hadn't. And either whether they were able or that had the time or whatever, it screamed as you were watching it. Some people would just blast through their dialogue and kind of like have a general, like it's the difference between, I mean, this is the improv training kicking in again, but it's like it's the difference between Pass the Ketchup and Pass the Heinz. Like right. It's the specificity of, well, in this moment, this character is angry. Okay, that's an entire, you know, 20-line monologue about one color. But in reality, each line is a different shade of that color. And it gives me a full mosaic of, like, angry, hurt, despondent, self-loathing, but also offense. Like, there's so many other aspects to it, and you have to... You know, like, because, and you do, like, the people who, like, who've gotten into it and are, you know, 20-year vets and are, like, done stuff and have booked stuff and are, do signings, are just as guilty of just, like, rip and read.
Yeah.
And you're right, like, that the gift of time, that especially when you're instructing someone, especially your kid, that you don't take for yourself is like, while you were doing a little bit of self-flagellation, I was right there with you doing the exact same thing.
But I hate to do that, but it's because we don't deserve it. Those of us who, you know, it's like, it doesn't, don't take the time to beat yourself up, because that is not time well spent. The time is well spent in investigating if really what you want to do is be an actor or a director. Or any part in the arts.
Yeah.
It is, take the time to just invest in that script or in that moment or in that, you know, you don't, life's too short, my friend.
Yes.
Life's too short, and it's such a euphemism. It's such a, it's, it seems, that seems so general, but, like, over, I know that you know this, but over the past year and a half, 2 years, I've lost my dad, my stepdad, my mother-in-law, one of my best friends, my favorite cat. You know, it's like all these things remind you that, for me, my perspective is, you know, it's hard, but we are nothing. It's hard to
Yeah.
We're just tiny little things that have huge egos. but, you know, if we are fortunate enough to be here shooting for our dreams, even in the muck and mire of that, we're standing in a huge place of privilege.
Yeah.
And nothing better than to dive full long into it, not waste any time with so-called beating ourselves up.
Agreed, totally agreed. And I think about, like, a motivator for me too with that kind of stuff is I think about the kid I was at 7, 8 who would give his eye teeth and more to be doing what 52-year-old me is doing right now. I'm the execution of the promise of his imagination and that goal. And if I ever sit back and rest on my laurels and on my IMDb credits, it's a disservice to that, to the struggle, to everything. Totally. That motivates.
There's nobody here doing this profession that didn't have struggle. There's not.
Yeah.
I even think people who maybe, you know, we might look at and say, well, they had it lucky. They had family in the business or whatever. No, those people are still have their own struggle. It's different. It's different than coming from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But there's nobody that gets out without their fair share. It's That's life.
Right. It's life.
Mean, come on. Life is the same way.
That's it. That's
we're all exactly in this. Right. We're all in this together, trying to feel.
Well, our time is rapidly coming to a close. I can't tell you how great it is just to be able to sit and chat with you for an hour and get to know you even better. And I'm so blessed to have you, not only as a colleague but as a friend and in my life and everything. I'm so grateful to you. So this
right
has
back
been
at you.
Amazing.
And I'll tell you, just so that this is public, because it's true. you mentioned you were taking a producing class, and I'm like, oh, okay, now I know who I'm going to have as my producer when I make that film that I need to make. It is you.
Okay.
So
done.
Get ready in, well, like, you know, 3 years.
Give me a script. Give me a script, Serena. I'm already waiting.
You got it. See, now
I've got
I have
two
to,
more classes.
Now I have to do that.
Yeah, me too. I got to finish my two classes so I can at least have the document to point to it. Yeah, it's a date. I promise you. Let's make it.
I love it.
Let's make.
So great.
So since we're both on working the Crude's family tree, there's a brand new season dropping at the end of August, which I'm very excited for. Gotta check it out. Hulu and Peacock. It's out there, man. What are some other things that you've got out that you would love to let people know about, how they can check out your work and or reach out to you or
so another one that just dropped that I've been directing is Harley Quinn.
Oh, amazing.
Fun and amazing. And Baby Shark on Nickelodeon, as well as Shark Dog. And then, of course, you can hear me in SpongeBob or Camp Coral or The Patrick Show. So basically, Underwater Market.
You've got on lock.
And then, of course, yes, Crude's Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous.
Yeah.
Which is another series. I'm very proud of the work in there.
Awesome.
And Wee Baby Bears.
Oh, wow.
Very. Yeah. It's on Cartoon Network. It's very surreal. I love it. It's a preschool show and doesn't land in the territory that I'm familiar with from preschool shows.
Amazing.
I don't know. I love the shows I'm working on so much. I love all the showrunners I work with so much. I just want to spend the, like, I want to brag about them, but I know that this, people have other things to do with their life, but.
I understand. It is like, but like, yeah. to be able to go into these spaces and work with these people who are, you know, incredibly inspiring, not only as creators and people getting things done, but then to get to play in these worlds. And like, I mean, I've got to do stuff in that room, like the belching stuff that I've done, and discovering a talent that I didn't realize. I mean, I knew I had, but didn't realize it was going to have any value and be delightful to as many people as it has been. But like, you know, that's part of the landscape, and that, you know, I don't know. It's the best. It's just the best. And and so are you. There's my segue. I'll tell you one thing that was really helpful for me. This is a sidebar. Through my producing classes, I took a class on internet marketing, And I thought it was going to help me, like, sort of invigorate, do a bunch of things. And it did, but it in a totally different way. And it was, the assignment was to blog 3 times a week. And I was like, blogging is still a thing? But on my website, that was where I did it. And, like, it was so instructive and helpful to have that space, especially while I was in Australia. But then, like, processing, I stumbled into a thing that a couple people have reached out to me for private lessons in dealing with, that I about artistic injury. So the idea I think I may have talked about that in one of our sessions at one point or another, but of a different kind of you know, that feeling of loss, or that confidence loss, and then finding your way back. And And, you know, for me, it's using improv and play to find a way out. You know, I think that was Sherry's instruction for me after I, you know, took my hit. But it's, you know, the blogging element of it was a real surprise and a real gift. And it helped me generate. It helped me write in a way that it gave me a reason to write. And sometimes as a deadline motivated person, like my auditions, I always turn in within the last hour of when they're due. Like, it's the same kind of a thing. And I think that, you know, if you're looking for a reason, and not like you don't have plenty of things already on your plate, but I'll subscribe to your blog, and two, like A and two, I also
A and think, two,
A and two,
that
and
is
two,
such, that,
such a grug
thing. Right?
A, I'll totally subscribe to your blog. Two, I forgot what A was, but C, I'm already subscribed. And D, I started writing it, except for, you mentioned Phil. So going back to two, yeah, there you go.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That was the greatest fun.
Yes, anyway, love it.
Awesome. I'll let you go. Thank you so much, Serena. This was such
a
joy.
Thank you so much, Kiff. It was a pleasure.
More
soon. I mean, it doesn't have to be recorded. We can actually just hang out.
Amen. Amen. Let's make it happen. Wonderful. And thank you, audience, for listening. And there'll be more coming soon. Peace. This has been All Over Voiceover with Kiff VH, produced by Werewolf Therewolf. Please consider giving the show a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Look, I know I keep asking for a review, but if you found just one piece of info from me or my guests helpful, please share that with me and share it and help grow our VO community. Feel free to catch up with me on Instagram, Twitter, Clubhouse, or Vero at KiffVH, or hit me up on LinkedIn. It's Kiff Vandenheuvel. Just search for Kiff. We probably know a couple of the same people. And check out my website, www.kiffvh.com, for my reels, updates, and to reach out to me directly for coaching or appearances. Claim victory and depart the field. Taxi? Taxi? I guess I gotta walk from here.